Ich habe die Ehre.
All right, it is my honor to announce Lars. Amateur radio can still use self-built equipment. Since this summer, however, you need a license to prove that you know what you're doing, even in the beginner's class. Pylon will give us an overview in this talk about what amateur radio even is, what fascinates him about it, what might fascinate us about it, and an overview about the examination. Welcome, Pylon.
Danke.
Yeah, thank you. I'm Lars. My call sign is Delta Charlie 4 L Whiskey, and I'm an amateur radio operator. And I think it was a good decision to say I'm going to do this presentation here on a stage. I did it last year at some corner, and people kept coming and saying, please keep the evacuation routes free. So I'm going to tell you something about amateur radio, why I do amateur radio, and as was just mentioned, the newest exam that exists since the summer. So exam in general exists all the time, but there's a new categorization now since the summer. So something about myself. I already said my call sign, Delta Charlie 4 Lima Whiskey. So you can notice there's the international spelling alphabet that's being used. And this call sign is globally unique. So if I say something on the radio, everyone knows that it's me, and I can know who everyone else is. So we have to say this call sign to know who just transmitted something. So I'm around at the CCC since about the 1990s, middle of the 1990s. So my first event was the Chaos Communication Camp 1999. Before then, I read the Datenschleuder magazine and heard Chaos Radio. So at the first events, I met Bau Holland, who was also an amateur radio operator, also had a call sign Delta Bravo 4 Foxtrot Alpha, I think. And I do amateur radio since 2006. Found out about it through the CCC, and then said, okay, I'm going to do this exam. And since then, I also offer, since a bit later, maybe 2012, in Berlin, I do these amateur radio courses and trained about 300 persons to become amateur radio operators. But why do I do this? What do I feel about amateur radio? And I have to say, there's some fascination with it. And the fascination is, if I use my own antenna and I can communicate with it, so my own antenna, own device, I can reach the whole world with that. And I have minimal equipment with me. I don't have any dependencies of any providers. I don't need to pay any fees to some company. I can just, for instance, take a battery pack, a radio device. Nowadays, some of them have the battery built in. I can sit in the park, put the antenna into a tree, and talk for several hours with people all around the world. There's some chance with it, but it's also fun. So maybe you remember chat roulette, so maybe something a little like that. But it's also useful if you have a power cut. I can still communicate, even if it's just a small handheld device. Works for a few hours, and I can talk to other people. If you want to try that out with a battery pack in the park, we also offer this here each day, 12:30, at the Karlswelle. Parks on the Air is the name we use. Just come to us, bring the coat, and then we'll sit in the park and for an hour or two do radio. And it's interesting how far you can get, how far your signal can reach other people with just a bit of wire and a radio device. And this fascination can reach so far that you see everything as an antenna. Oh, sorry. This is the gutter pipe on my house or apartment, and I eventually noticed, well, you can use this to do radio. I reached Jena with that, so it's not too bad. But if I put too much power into it, my neighbor said, well, the kitchen radio starts flickering. So I have to watch out for that. So, as I just said, what does amateur radio mean for me? There's this fascination of freedom, and freedom. And I can attain this freedom by doing an exam. I have to do the exam. Oh, in this case, the person is being tested to not do any silly things. You might know, for everything else that you have, there's a tiny radio device here. It's going to have some kind of CE label on it, which means the device is being tested. With amateur radio, it's the other way around. The person is being tested and certified. So the person gets an exam that they don't do anything silly, that they don't do any radio anywhere where you're not supposed to do it. And after I've done this exam, I can transmit and receive. So this is in the old building. This photo is a few years old. So we did a station there and could build antennas in the building, so that used to be better with the old balconies. Well, I can send and receive worldwide on standardized frequency bands. And this way I can use just a few watts today and reach the whole world. A few watts means maybe 5 watts I can do radio around the world. So 5 watts is maybe about as much as a smartphone. And then I can reach quite a bit further with that. In Germany, I'm allowed to use at most 750 watts. That's quite a bit of power. You have to watch out that you're not standing right next to the antenna. There are other countries where you can use even more power, but I think they also have nuclear power. So this means once I've done the exam, what I get from that is the ability to build my own devices. This is a privilege that we have as amateur radio operators. If I'm an amateur radio operator, I can build my own radio devices. I can build my own antennas. I can use them, operate them, because I've done the exam certifying that I know that I shouldn't do radio on some kind of frequencies where I'm not supposed to. So you have to build some knowledge for that. By the way, there's a Bundesnetzagentur, Federal Network Agency, and they do this exam, and they also go around with a transmission wagon, and well, you don't see it as much these days. But they don't like working as much, so they used to be, I don't know, now they're salaried people. They don't want to go out for amateur radio operators who went to frequencies where they shouldn't. And so that now you do this exam and you learn in advance what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. And I said, self-built devices, I'm allowed to build radio devices and antennas. And what's more and more frequent today is building your own software or codecs, so digital radio codecs. And it's more do-it-yourself is happening there. Not so much for hardware. You can buy some hardware off the shelf, but I'm allowed to modify it. I'm allowed to do other things with the hardware. So otherwise, I'm allowed only to take the devices and plug them in, which is great for CZ and here and stuff. But it's great to change devices and modify them. On the image here, you can see on the left a radio device from the 1960s. You can still operate that. It sounds nice, but it's a lot of work to make this thing work with vacuum tubes. So how does it work?
So what's this about with amateur radio? So worldwide, there's the possibility to communicate with each other. But somehow you have to manage to make a connection without any provider. I'm not dialing up somewhere and saying, hey, I want to talk to someone else. I can establish a connection. I made something here, a little piece of plastic with some speaker wire, And you can really build a little antenna with that, which allows you to operate the radio with worldwide connections. And I did that out of my garden, and I live in the city, in the inner city of Berlin. I use 25 watts of power. And as you can see, I really reached almost the whole world, except South Africa, really. But I really had quite a long range, and it was really, really great. And I was really happy with that. And the nice thing about radio is these waves that we send, they don't stop at borders. And nobody comes along and says, stop, you can't pass here. But there is even this freedom that I can operate my radio and nobody can stop me. So how does that work? It's a bit cropped on the bottom, but the most important thing is there. We have two different kinds of waves. And one is the surface wave. It's like in line of sight, where the lamp can shine, where a light can shine. This is the line of sight connection.
Geht ein bisschen weiter. Ein paar Prozent sind es noch mehr, aber
it's still a few more percent, but it depends on the frequency, but you don't get very far with that. And then people found out there's the ionosphere, about 100 to 400 kilometers above the surface, charged particles, and if you beam electromagnetic waves into it, they will be reflected. And then they can be reflected back on the surface of the Earth. And that is really the trick, how to reach other places far away everywhere on Earth without needing any amplification in between that. And nobody can stop that. People have tried, but it doesn't really work to stop that. It depends on the weather, of course, from the season, from sunstorms, maybe solar storms. And you really learn that if you do the course for becoming a radio amateur. I can also talk to outer space. There are some satellites, and sometimes you can see them. One of those is called ISS, I think. And I also can use those to make a connection. They have a station there, and they have an amplifier and send it back to Earth. You really have to follow it. I have a handheld antenna, as you can see in this picture, and you can show it here in the chaos world. And I can just track the satellite or the station, and I can reach very far places also. But also can talk to the astronauts there sometimes. If you really want to talk to the astronauts via radio, you can become a radio amateur. So how does that work? Whoever was at the Chaoswelle, maybe they have heard some strange words and didn't really understand all of it. And there's some protocol, so to speak, in radio amateur operation. And network technicians know that they have their own protocols, and it's similar with amateur radio operations. And this kind of protocols you also learn in the simple exam, in the entry-level exam. And you really need to know how that works, how to establish a connection so the other person on the other side of connection knows that I want to establish a connection. There are some abbreviations. It's from the time where we used Morse code a lot. It's not done a lot anymore, but some people do that. It's no longer a condition for that. But when we established telegraph lines, then we established the Morse code. And so we use the key. And they came up with lots of abbreviations, and some of them are still used today because that's been a tradition. And it's all about, goes back to, there's a stamp there in the background. There was a worldwide cooperation, and this stamp is there was a worldwide radio operations conference where they agreed on which frequencies should be used for which services. So 87.5 megahertz to 108 megahertz, that is radio, that's almost the same worldwide. and the US goes only to 104 megahertz, but maybe different, but the basic framework is basically the same worldwide, and certain frequencies were given to the amateur radio operators. And the first conference like that was 1903 in Berlin, so where's the some special kinds of radio operations and services, and this was the first time when amateur radio was part of that conference, and they can get the frequencies that are not useful for radio operations. And those frequencies can be used wonderfully for radio, and radio amateur operators made that useful, and then the commercial operators wanted those frequencies back then. But also, amateur radio isn't regulated worldwide, but is regulated in Germany. There's the Federal Networks Agency with this bird there, and they keep a watchful eye that it is done properly and well regulated. There are international regulations from the International Telecommunications Union, the ITU, and this has been established about 100 years ago, and maritime radio and aircraft radio is regulated. And what's also regulated, amateur radio needs to be use an open language, so you cannot use encryption. On the other hand, I say I really have to think about the topics about which I talk, and it's really interesting in radio amateur conversations what you talk about. It's usually just chit-chat, and it's not really important things. It isn't really news or important messages. And because there was the official postal carriages really said they shouldn't really transfer messages, but they can only talk about very simple, unimportant things. But it's still important to talk about and interesting to talk about the technology. So what does it like? What does it look like if you talk to someone? All these special codes. You say CQ, CQ, CQ by Delta Charlie 4 Lima Whiskey, and another station may respond, Delta Charlie 4 Lima Whiskey. This is Delta Alpha 0 Charlie, Charlie, Charlie. And I read you 5-9. And it's just in the 5-9 is just an information about the quality of the signal that was received. And in this case, it was an excellent signal. And I reply, Delta Alpha 0 Charlie, Charlie, Charlie by Delta Charlie 4 Lima Whiskey. And I read you 5-7. QTH is Hamburg. QTH is just an abbreviation that designates my position. Delta Charlie 4 Lima Whiskey, thanks for the contact. 73 by Delta Charlie 4 Lima Whiskey. That's what it may look like. You can maybe talk a bit more. What's the weather? What kind of technology do I have? Or sometimes from the Congress is, oh, there's a lot of atmosphere in the background. Yeah, there's just 12,000, 14,000 other people in the background, and we are on the Chaos Communication Congress. Oh, really? I really want to talk to the CCC sometime. And it's really, yeah, it's really good, and it's really a lot of fun. So what else is amateur radio? It's a driver for technology. Amateur radio opened the frequency bands and made them useful, and this useless shortwave. And amateur radio operators found out that you could use that for worldwide wave propagation, and we saw how that works. And before that, radio operators didn't know that. But various analog and digital modes and the DSL technology that is in use today, all the encoding modes were developed by radio amateurs. And the amateur radio also found out, and also the industry as well, and they really developed synergies there. So, but if one frequency is blocked, no one else can send on that frequency. You can see there, there's one frequency band is completely blocked, and the organizers couldn't use that frequency band there. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was a power supply unit. Something was blocking that frequency band. But if one frequency is blocked, then today you can use technologies to use the same frequency band cooperatively with the time slots that multiple stations can use the same frequency band. So building stuff yourself is an important part of amateur radio. What's important is that you learn not to create disturbances of other people. And that's what you learn in your exam. So how can I become a radio amateur? How can I do radio operation? So it's not easy to gender that, I think, in German. But now in summer, there was introduced a new exam for entry level, and there was a new catalog of questions over 4 years that was developed, and I was part of that, and that all questions were really refreshed, and it was originally also about vacuum tubes, and that was left out now. And the old catalog of questions was maybe from the year 2003, perhaps. And there was a slide from another presentation, and this is also about a timeline about amateur radio since about 1900. There was Morse code and AM and FM technology. You don't really need to know all the abbreviations. But you can see that there was what's read about since around the year 2000. There was something called software-defined radio. And Chaos Communication Camp 2015, maybe, I think it was 2015. There was a batch about that, and the radio batch, and that was the software-defined radio that you could get in the badge. And since around 2000, there was software-defined radio, and since that, radio amateur operation has changed in new modes and new technologies with which you could work. And everything above the green line, roughly, wasn't in the old exam, and you only learned about the old stuff. And so the exam was really revamped and created new, and there was a new third class, and that is an entry-level class for new amateur radio operators.
So this class is limited to very few frequencies. Only three frequency bands can be used. So the 2 meter band, 70 centimeter band, 144 megahertz, 133, I think. So that's what you can do with walkie-talkies. It sounds stupid, but you can do a lot more with it. But in the end, it's kind of handheld radio devices, but I can build larger devices that use that. I can also do satellite connections with that band. And there's also a short wave band, the so-called 10 meter band. I think that's 28, 29 megahertz, so about the area where also CB radio is, which is a little bit below that. And so with this 10 meter band, you can do worldwide radio, at least in the summer when solar activity is at the maximum or minimum. So the question catalog was adjusted for this, and there are three areas where you have to do your exam, even for this beginner class. And the first one is technology questions. So there are 195 questions in the catalog for there. I would say they're relatively simple if you have technological background, but it's not more than what you would learn in the fifth or sixth class physics. And then there's operative stuff with 173 questions in the catalog. And then there's laws and regulations, where am I allowed to send and so on. That's 201 questions in the catalog. So overall, I have 569 questions. And from those, 25 questions each will actually be asked to me to the exam. And I have 45 minutes to answer that. 19 of those questions have to be correct. And I did this exam for fun, and I managed to pass it. But I was done in 10 minutes. So if you're an amateur radio operator, you can pass this exam. If you're learning it from scratch, you might need a bit more time. And what do you have content-wise in this exam? So this is the slide that none of you can read unless you have binoculars with you. But that's just the overview. There's 14 chapters in there, which start with the first signs, what are call signs, where frequencies, wave propagation, amateur radio stations, international radio operation, how does that work internationally, modulation, how does is that structured, digital transfer methods, and a lot of acronyms there, antennas and conductors. So this is the subject where all the Freifunk people asked me. They wanted to build antennas. Oh, so we... they didn't want to be radio operators. They just wanted to build antennas. And there's transceivers, how they're built up, but not how to build them, but more how to operate them. What are all those buttons for? What does this do? So that's the kind of direction you have there. The actual inner workings of the transceiver is something for the higher classes later. And there you can learn how to build them yourself. There's logbooks or QSL cards. You can send around these cards. You can see those with the Karlsruhe later. Electricity, building parts, and then the laws and regulations. I brought some examples from the exam. So here's an example for the technology. How do I measure the voltage on a battery? So that's fifth or sixth grade physics. It's not that difficult. What does this diagram on the right side show? Antenna, a speaker at the end, and then some kinds of filters in between. So it's probably a receiver. Or for operating stuff. So here's a map with a pattern on it. That's a Maidenhead locator. You might not recognize that, but you're going to learn that. And instead of GPS, you can use this to recognize which region a person is in. Or how do I fill in these QSL cards and what do I have to put in there? So these are things that you learn during this process. Regulations, the accreditation document, what kind of organizations are there, and also about liability and construction law. So all of this you have to learn, unfortunately, even for the basic exam. So that's 14 chapters. You can sit down, learn one chapter per day, then you're done in 14 days. Or you do a course in one weekend. I could go through with that, through all of that in a weekend. It's about 16 hours. Or you do it distributed over 6 hours, 2.5 hours per week. I've done all this. I've done a course right after the last Congress from January until middle of February. It worked. People had to wait a little bit because the exam only was available in summer. But yeah, they were more amateur radio operators this way. And they said, okay, technology is so simple, I'm going to continue with the next class. And then I can use more frequencies and more power. There's an online course that you can do. 50ohm.de. I'll show the URL later. Here's a video course. You can also sit down and watch a bit of video each day and then do the exam afterwards. For people who prefer to read on paper, there's also a book by now. You can do all of this, or you can go to a course. And then this leads to the question, where do I find out more about ham radio? So you can visit us around the corner, Karlsruhe, right here, in front of the window. We don't bite, only sometimes. Or join us tomorrow, 12:30 in the park, or visit other meetings. There are a lot of amateur radio groups in Germany. There are a lot of hack spaces that do amateur radio. You can find in the vicinity of each CCCF thing. Amateur radio people, just ask around. And there are also groups each time to offer, go outside and do radio outside, or if you want to do a course, then you can do to the course map. There it is, great. And you can look for the amateur radio, well, Lehrgangsfahrt, it's in German. And there you can see where courses are and where they're going to be in future. And you look for the class N, that's the beginner's class. And yeah, maybe you'll find it there, or just ask around when is the next class going to be. As I said, I'm from Berlin. I'm not going to do a class for a course for class N directly after Congress because another group does that. But I do an upgrade from class E to class A. So just doing a bit of advertisement here. If you are already amateur radio operator and you have class E and you want the biggest class, I'm going to do a class for that starting in January. If you want to reach me, you can find me here on the Fediverse or on the website of the German Amateur Radio Club, darc.de, or 50 Ohm. The logo that you can see here, you can find all the materials there to learn, not just for class N, but also E and A. Thank you.
Delta Charlie 4 Lima Whiskey.
Correct.
Ich bin beeindruckt.
I'm really impressed. And I really talked about fascination, but you are really burning for that topic. It's really great. Thank you very much for that great presentation. I don't think there will be no questions. So please raise your hands if you have a question.
Merci.
Thank you. One of the reasons I didn't start with a class N, I signed up for the course at the public education at Volkswagen. And another reason was that there's a lot of maths, really, and calculating in the head, and I can't do that, really. But if you give me a calculator, I can tell you what needs to be done. But without a pocket calculator, I can't do that or make lots of errors. How does that work in the exam?
So, in the course, you'll see the exact same questions that you'll also have in the exam. So the exact same questions you see on the website. So some people say they learn those until they've memorized them. So honestly, for class N, I do it without a calculator, class E as well. Question asker says you don't have this calculator. You are allowed to use a calculator. You even get a collection of formulas, you have to look it up. So with class N, you don't have to rearrange any of the formulas. You just have to put in the numbers. And it's almost trivial, fifth or sixth grade physics. And in 45 minutes for 25 questions, you have almost 2 minutes per question.
A question from my side. Thanks for the talk. I wanted to ask if people use that to transmit data.
Yes. So data transmission is possible. So you can use digital modes and you can transfer files like that. It's not a problem. It might be a bit slow. So we're talking about 9,600 baud. You can almost read along. But there are modes where you can transfer more data. And it depends on the bandwidth that you're allowed to use. So 70 centimeter bandwidth, you can do video there. Some people do video there. Digital video transmission.
So the microphone is now there. Thank you very much for the great talk. What is really a pity is that historically, amateur radio can't really talk about interesting things. But in the digital modes, who looks if anything has been encrypted, that you don't transmit a binary file? Is that a JPEG? Can I really decode that, or is it encrypted? So how is that handled, really? And only that makes it really interesting. If I really have a channel that I can talk about more than about the weather.
Well, if there is no one who sues you, then no judge is going to do something.
I have another question. It's great that there are really so many possibilities to learn about for the exam, but where can I take the exam? It's probably not the TUV for the driver's license.
That's true. There's at 50ohm.de, there's a button in the corner. In the upper right corner of the website, there's a button to take the exam, and it also tells you where you can do the exam. Only the Federal Network Agency in Germany is allowed to do this exam. I think it has 12 locations where it can do this exam. Usually it's during the weekdays, and you have to pay a bit for that, a couple of euros. Not everything, but yeah. There's also sometimes the opportunity to do it at a university. If you have a university group, and can learn amateur radio there, then there's a chance that you can be examined there. You have to ask about it, but yeah, otherwise the locations, there's Berlin, Hamburg, Munich, Eschborn, I'm just remembering, Göttingen, so there's a few locations for that, Dortmund as well.
So the microphone is at the back now, from the internet. If could amateur radio be a good apocalypse backup, for example, during a war?
So I have something in my notes for the first slide that I didn't say. We are doing apocalypse zombie training. Yeah, I think so, yes. Not for war, but for emergency situations. It is useful to have something there. So in the last years, we had several situations where there was a power cut, where infrastructure collapsed through heavy rains. And I think amateur radio can help that I can still have contact with the rest of the world through this device.
Yes, thank you for the talk. As with every hobby, it costs something, of course, as with everything else. How about amateur radio?
It depends a lot. Do you mean the technology or the exam? Exam is somewhere around, I think, so the beginner level around 50 euros and the big exam around 90 euros. You have to pay each year to the Federal Network Agency for using the frequency. And if there's a disturbance caused by others, you don't have to pay anything for that as an amateur radio operator. And you pay environment emission fees, so that's about 20, 25 euros per year. For the technology, there's no upper limit, but often you'll find relatively cheap radio devices. So I was at a flea market in Harburg. I could have bought a great device for 20 euros where I could have done the exam right now.
Yes, there, with the protocol that you talked about as an example, that was German. But if I want to talk to someone in Japan or South America, what can be a common language?
Generally, it's English, but I've also met people who only talked about those abbreviations without having a common language. It works.
Yes, thank you for the nice talk. You said that you live in the center of Berlin. Does that mean you really have an antenna on the roof? And if so, how difficult or easy is that to put an antenna onto the roof if you don't own the house, but if you're only a tenant, maybe? And what kind of money would you have to spend?
So I don't have an antenna on my roof. I can only do radio by putting something into the garden or in the park. So temporary antennas. So if you want to put an antenna on your roof, you have to get the approval from the owner. Some people have better connections, some people have worse connections. It depends on who the owner is. So the budget, there's again no upper limit, varies a lot. You can do a simple small antenna, and then if you're unlucky, you have to pay for the lightning protection as well. So there's a lot of small things that you have to pay attention to, but I think you would have to talk about that in detail separately. This would be too much for now.
Yes, I have two questions. One was already asked. For about 10 years, I got involved with amateur radio and was interested in that and was really disillusioned if it said you can't encrypt. But what happens if you still do? And if I only want to do it only because of that, are there fines or do I get punished, or should I really use data radio over citizen band radio? And also the drain pipe, how does that work?
So about the encryption, CB radio is also open. You're not allowed to do it there either, and otherwise you'll have to use commercial services.
Die zweite Frage,
the second question with the antenna.
Da kannst du auch eine Anpassung machen.
You can adjust it. So there's technical possibilities more in the class E and A that you build your own adjustments and then this way match any frequency and with any kind of bit of wire that's a conductor. I was lucky, so in Berlin, it's a great fit for certain frequency bands with this gutter pipe. I was very lucky that that had the right length. And then you can get funny effects otherwise.
My dear Lars, as I said, you're really burning for that. Thank you very, very much. Wonderful presentation. Thank you very much.